today on Compassion Radio.
When God calls, and God always calls in the Bible, I mean, look at Moses, look at Abraham. He's always calling, and then you have to obey.
Right.
Often God calls us to do something and we choose not to obey. I think a lot of people miss that call because they're not listening and telling God, you know, I'll go and do whatever, wherever, whenever you want me to do. And that's what we said. I don't want to come across as, oh, we're so spiritual. But of course we said that. And then we were like, oh my gosh, what are we doing?
Why would he just committed to? Yeah.
Well, hello and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. I'm your host, Frank Montenegro. Today we bring you the first part of a chat that Bram's wife Sandy had with Tracy Hagman. Tracy and her husband Eric run a ministry in Nairobi called Heshima that ministers to mothers of local disabled children there in East Africa. Really powerful stuff today, and we're so glad that you're with us. Here's Sandy to kick things off.
Today on Compassion Radio, I'd like to introduce a new friend to our listeners. Her name is Tracy Hagman, and she lives just outside of Nairobi, Kenya. And she and her husband, Eric, have started and run a beautiful ministry called Heshima. And I'm going to let Tracy describe to you what that is. Tracy, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thanks, Sandy.
So, Tracy, I know a little bit about your story. If you wouldn't mind just telling me, first of all, how you even got to Africa.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right?
Right.
Well, we asked the Lord in early 2000 if he was calling us to do something different than what we were in the U.S. We were doing business in the U.S., doing well financially, but also doing ministry in the States with our church. But we decided to pray if God wanted us to do something different. So we prayed for about a year, told the Lord we'd do or go wherever he called us to. It was a hard thing to pray because, you know, we had the nice house and had the nice income and all those things, but we felt God was tugging us to go into full-time missions. Through prayer and doing some fasting, we definitely felt the Lord leading us into coming to East Africa. My husband was offered a position to be the director for Wycliffe Associates in East Africa. And it took us about a year to get our house sold, get our stuff sold, start raising financial support for coming over here with Wycliffe. And so we took a big step of faith and came over here when our boys were 5 and 7. And that was a big step of faith because our last born, Simon, who's now 23, had special needs. He had spent the first 2 years of his life in Minneapolis Children's Hospital. Mm-hmm. He was actually born at 22 weeks into my pregnancy and weighed 1 pound. Mm. He survived 7 heart attacks during that 2-year time, and we saw the Lord literally raise him from the dead more than once.
Wow.
A 22-week preemie in 1996 is pretty unheard of.
Right.
We fought for his life in the spiritual realm and just with our friends around us for a good 2 years before he was finally out of the hospital and was not medically fragile anymore. Needless to say, the Lord showed us he was going to heal Simon. Even during the time when Simon was so deathly ill, the Lord put on our heart that we needed to tell the doctors that they would see a healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we met with our doctors and we told them that and they laughed.
Yes,
they
would.
Said, I remember them saying to me that Simon was the sickest child in the hospital,
wow.
The most ill. So it was a real faith walk for us to just stand on what we felt like the Lord had told us. But then in the natural, everything was opposite.
Right.
And so it just goes to that verse, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see.
Mm-hmm. You're walking it out.
Right. So then when Simon actually got out of the hospital, he spent a year in our house with nursing care and other things, and we got therapy and special education. Fast forward 2 years later, the Lord calls us into full-time missions and is calling us to East Africa where there is no special education or therapy.
Right. Right.
So the Lord was very clear that this is what I've called you to do, and what I call you to do, I will fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't up to us to figure out how it was going to work or what he was going to do. We still made wise choices. I mean, we had no debt. My husband is very good, you know, with our finances over the years. So we didn't have any financial debt. We had made choices, you know, the 10 years prior to that, that allowed us to step out financially and physically to become full-time missionaries. Now, taking two little boys is a big step of faith, but then taking one that has special needs.
Right.
Plus, it was right when 9/11 happened, and so many people were just trying to inflict the spirit of fear and question what we were doing. We obviously listened to wise counsel, but at the end of the day, we sought the Lord and were unified together that this is what God was calling us to do.
So you talked about you and Eric seeking the Lord together. Tell me practically what that looks like for you, for a married couple.
I know the Holy Spirit speaks and God's voice speaks because the Bible talks about that all over the place. I mean, God spoke to Moses. He's the same God. We didn't hear an audible voice per se, but we spent time alone with him and prayed. And as I said, we fasted and asked God to give us clarity. And he spoke to us through circumstances, through some people we respected speaking into us. But we didn't hear an audible voice per se, but we felt in our spirit because the Lord speaks through his spirit and spoke to our spirit. And the other thing was we felt unified on it as a couple.
Right.
A lot of times over the years, I've seen husbands and wives move here and one feels very called and one doesn't. It can be really complicated.
Right.
I'm not saying that that isn't sometimes the situation, but we felt that we, you know, both were in agreement that this was the right thing. So one of us wasn't making the other one do it or trying to say, well, this is what God said. It doesn't matter what you say, kind of a thing.
Right.
So just reading his word and praying together and trusting that God would speak to us. And he did.
I think it's important to explore that a little bit because sometimes we think, well, God's calling me and we have this other person in our life that we need to consider in that process as well. That you and Eric are unified and you were unified in your decision. And knowing that God was speaking. I think that's great to hear that because sometimes we don't think through those things when we're making decisions when we have someone else involved in the process as well.
The Bible says that you are one with your spouse. So how can he lead one way and one another way?
Right.
There might be times when one is called to submission under something, but God's going to then show you that. If Eric would have said, yes, we're going, and I would have said, I don't want to go, I hopefully would pray and say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. So if you need me to submit here, then I will do that. It's just going back to hearing God's voice. How do you hear God's voice? And it's a practice and you have to listen.
Right.
I mean, to hear God's voice, you have to listen. You can't just pray. It's sitting quietly and still and trusting that that still small voice in your spirit, comparing it with scripture. And obviously you can hear different voices. There's Satan. You can hear your own self. But obviously God's voice is going to be, at least in my experience, it's always still, it's always small, like the Bible says, and it always matches up to the Bible, but it never makes sense. Over and over and over and over again, it will never make sense to your logical mind. Because his ways are not our ways.
Exactly.
And so if you're trying to analyze it and see if it logically makes sense, that's the wrong direction to go.
Well, that's good advice right there. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God. And so, but you're right. Lining it up with what the scripture says is so important. I mean, if sometimes we have great ideas, but it may not be in line with what God is calling us to do according to scripture. So I think it's good, like you said, to get in there, get in the word, seek the word in finding out what God's calling you to do, but then listen, listen, listen to what he's saying to you as well.
Right.
So we're going to jump forward now. So you have made the plan. You've heard God and you're committed to going. You're packing the suitcase. You're getting on the plane with your two boys and heading to Africa. What does that look like for your family? What does that feel like as going on, getting on the plane that day?
Well, first of all, you've got both of our parents and families were all there in Minnesota where we used to live. They're both godly people, came from godly families, but of course they struggled with letting us go. We had to let go of having family around us, having built-in babysitters, just having that support system. On one hand, it was very scary, and it was a very long process because We had to sell our house. We had to raise support for what we were doing. Mm-hmm. Eric had to leave his company. He was working for his family's construction company, and he was actually running it. Mm-hmm. And so his business was going very well, and his family was really devastated that that is what he chose. And my husband will tell you that he did not feel like he wanted to be a missionary from when he was young. He wanted to stay and be a general contractor. But he said that he would do what God wanted him to do, and mm-hmm. he stepped out of the way. And very clearly, God told him, this is what I want you to do. So it's fun because now, been here almost 20 years, and he now has a construction company here in this country.
Okay.
So God has brought back to us so many things that we gave up, quote unquote, mm-hmm. and just done it tenfold. So leaving was obviously hard. We have our kids go away from the family. But again, if God's calling you to do something, if you look in the Bible, God's not saying, well, I'm going to call you somewhere safe.
Right.
I'm going to call you somewhere easy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call you somewhere where you can figure it out. When God calls, and God always calls in the Bible. I mean, look at Moses, look at Abraham. He's always calling, mm-hmm. and then you have to obey.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with our guest host, Sandy Floria. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith. And to give you opportunities to help build the kingdom around the world. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. It's hard to believe that this unique radio ministry has been on the air for 75 years. Even more amazing, Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church, our sending agency, and our partners. I know that God has been working through you to make it possible for us to do this work each and every day. Right now, I want to offer you a special opportunity. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. Please, friends, reach out today to show us that support as we celebrate 75 years of broadcasting a message of hope found in Christ alone. If you're able to invest with a one-time, or better yet, a regular monthly gift, it will go a long, long way to making sure we remain on the air for another 75 years. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button at the top. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
Listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Look at Moses, look at Abraham. He's always calling, mm-hmm. and then you have to obey.
Right.
Often God calls us to do something and we choose not to obey. I think a lot of people miss that call because they're not listening and telling God, you know, I'll go and do whatever, wherever, whenever you want me to do. And that's what we said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to come across as, oh, we're so spiritual. But of course we said that. And then we were like, oh my gosh, what are we doing?
Why would he just committed to?
You know, right. But you know, God had just taken us through 2 years of extreme trauma in a hospital where right. we had seen our son near death a lot. Mm-hmm. And so that was a real supernatural faith experience for both of us. So we felt that this step wasn't that much bigger.
Right. This seemed like the easy step from there.
Right, right. But I'll tell you, if the Lord would have told me when I had Simon that I'm going to give you a special needs child, you're going to be in the hospital with him for 2 years, then I'm going to call you into missions, you're going to move to Africa, and then you're going to start an organization that helps special needs people in Kenya, I would have been like, no.
What?
Right.
I think you've got the wrong gal.
And, you know, often we've asked the Lord why you picked us. And the Lord has so clearly said to us at different times, we're so inadequate. He's just said to us, because you were willing. Mm-hmm. It's not because you were able, it's because you were willing. So God is looking for willing hearts, mm-hmm. not ability. He's not looking at ability. He's looking at willingness.
Right. When we're willing, he is able to accomplish all that he has begun.
Right.
For sure. Let's fast forward to Kenya now. So you're in Kenya and you're working with Wycliffe Associates.
Correct.
At what point did you feel God saying, hey, there's more that I have to do for you here than what you're seeing on the surface?
Well, my first line of duty was obviously to be a mom and to take care of my kids' needs. So we registered them into a international school right away, but that did not have a special ed program. And I asked the school, would you be willing to start one if I get some teachers from the U.S. to move over here?
Wow.
So they said yes. This school, West Nairobi School in Nairobi, started a special education program with Simon and one other little missionary kid. Simon stayed in that special education program all the way up until he graduated in 2015. Mm-hmm. The Lord provided it. Year by year, we didn't know if it was going to happen or if there was going to be a teacher. In a lot of ways, it's very exciting to live that way because God always does it and he always provides. When you leave a place where you have so many safety nets mm-hmm. of America and you go to a place that has no safety nets for you, like, you know, medical intervention and therapy and all the things we were used to, it's quite freeing to just trust the Lord mm-hmm. and to see him supernaturally provide. And that's just what he did with Simon. And so Simon got into that program. We got that going and I spent, you know, 4 or 5 years helping. Our oldest son was also in that school, so was involved as a mom. Then from there, when the kids got a little bit older, I really knew that there was not a lot of help for kids with disabilities in Kenya. Mm-hmm. And so I went into a slum that's close to where we live, met with the chief and got some people involved in the village. They were willing to help me get something going. So I started, I think I had $50 a month saved up and I rented a small flat in this slum. No electricity, no running water. We had a long drop, you know, hole in the ground for a bathroom. Mm-hmm. We had rats, but I then hired one Kenyan employee to help me do this. And it just started from there. It was amazing to discover what was behind closed doors in these areas, because I had never, ever seen a child with a disability out in public in this country, except for mm-hmm. my son, mm-hmm. because there's a real pressure to hide them because the culture, it's very shame-based.
Right.
And it's not because the people are mean or bad. It's just what they've been taught. And so these moms have these kids hidden away in their houses. They kind of come out of the woodwork. Once we started to discover these people. And when the moms would come to Ashima with their kids, they had never, ever met another mom with a child with a disability,
wow.
ever. We created this movement in this small slum with these kids and these moms. As it grew bigger, again, Eric and I said, what do you want? And again, Eric said, God, if you want me to leave Wycliffe Associates after 10 years and come and run this organization with Tracy, because it had gotten so big by then that I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore. He again gave over to the Lord his profession as the director of Africa for Wycliffe Associates and told the Lord, I don't want to do this, but I will. And the Lord very clearly said, yes, I want the two of you to come together and to run the Heshima Foundation.
What does Heshima mean?
Heshima means dignity in Swahili. And our mission statement is to provide dignity for families that are touched by disabilities in this country. And we provide dignity through special education, occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, medical intervention, and nutrition for our families. And we also employ the mom. So every child that's in our therapy and special education program, the mother has a job with us. Our moms are very low-income moms. They don't have any training or experience, but they've got a heart of a mama. So we're an organization that employs. Kenya is about 60% unemployment. Currently, we have 60 employees.
What does that look like? What would a job look like for one of the mamas?
Well, the majority of the mamas that come to us are going to be, as I said, not trained. They wouldn't have even like a high school education because they've never been given the opportunity. We can't employ them, quote unquote, as a therapist, but we can employ them as a cook or as a cleaner. We also employ them with Dignity Designs, which is a textile and jewelry company that we run on campus where we design jewelry. We also employ them as teacher assistants in the classroom.
Okay.
Then they're able to go home, provide for their families outside of here. So majority of them are single moms. It's pretty common for one child with a disability is born in this country. The husband usually leaves because there's pressure from the family to not be associated with a child with a disability anymore. So a lot of times our moms have no income. They have nobody helping them. The community actually says to them, we don't want you here either. So it's almost like being a leper back in the biblical times.
Right, right. So how many children did you start with? When you went into this slum area, you opened this little school, how many kids did you start with?
Well, we started with one. And then I think the first year we had five. And again, I didn't have money. So I needed money to do this. So I had to raise money to try to get it going. I could have taken 50 kids the first week, but obviously had to create my financial infrastructure and the system before I ran way ahead and saved everybody. The needs are so supernaturally great here, but God has given me a few gifts. I don't have a lot, but one of them is understanding business and marketing and how to create something properly rather than having a vision and not knowing how to put it into place. So I was able to say no to the 99% of the needs that I saw around me so that I could say yes to the 1% that I knew God was calling me to need. So I had to have a financial infrastructure to be able to get it larger. So that was in 2007. And then we're now in 2019. And currently we have 45 families. So that means we have 45 moms that work here. And we do therapy and special education with 45 kids. And then we have some special education teachers and some therapists that work here too.
So where do you get your therapists and your teachers?
They come from Kenya. We only employ Kenyan nationals. The therapy here is new. There are some therapy training programs in the country. Getting a physical therapy degree here is a two-year certificate, whereas I know in the U.S. it's like eight.
Right.
You need your master's. There's a few therapists in the country, and they're getting more and more. Special education teachers, they're not really special education teachers. They're just nursery teachers that we've trained to do special education.
Okay.
There's no real training here for that, and there's no infrastructure for it. So we've had to create our own infrastructure, our own sort of Hashima special education program. I mean, there's nobody from the government coming and seeing what we're doing and why we're doing it. In the U.S., you've got all these rules and regulations with how you do all these different things, and it's just different in Africa, which is a good thing if you're doing it correctly. It's not a good thing if you're doing some things that aren't great. You know, Kenya is a fabulous place, and we just love the people and love working here and love living here. Yeah. It's really our family and our home.
You've been listening to Compassion Radio with our guest host, Sandy Floria. The second half of her conversation with Tracy Hegman is coming up next time. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.